Hi, I'm Victor.
And I'm Allegra.
And we want to welcome you to Simply Investing.
We're two mates in our 20s who have learned a thing or two in our young careers.
Definitely from making lots of mistakes.
And our mission is to simplify investing and give you the knowledge and confidence to kickstart your investment journey.
Before we start, a quick reminder that nothing we say is financial advice.
Rather, for educational purposes only.
We are not financial advisors, and everybody should invest according to their own circumstances. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode here at Simply Investing. I'm Victor. My partner in crime, Allegra, is not here today, but I'm joined by someone who is very special in the finfluencer space, someone that we've been talking to for a while and we're good friends with, and that is Rebecca. So, hey, Beck.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
That's all good. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you spending some of your sunny Saturday afternoon. Well, I don't know if it's sunny where you are, but it's sunny here in Sydney. So
it's sunny here. So
in Queensland, yeah, that's good to hear. But no, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure all of our listeners will really enjoy this episode, getting to know more about you, more about your channel and what you can teach our viewers in terms of being frugal and saving and investing. And kind of lend your lens, I guess, into that space. So let's, you know, kick off, Beck, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, your background, how you got started, you know, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I am 21. I'm from the Sunshine Coast. Been here pretty much my whole life. Moved here when I was 5. So I just say this is my territory now.
Lovely.
I've gone all the way through school, currently studying at university, studying accounting.
Okay.
So that's fun. That's got the numbers part, sort of like money, sort of not.
Yeah. As an accountant, as someone who's been there, done that, and has done his CPA and stuff, I don't know why you chose it, but, you know.
Sometimes I rock up. I'm like, why did I do this again?
One day you're sitting there in SAP and you're doing the reconciliation and you're like, why am I here? All of these numbers, what am I doing here? But no, exactly. Why would it balance? But now, as much as I slag off accounting, I do think if you're good with numbers, absolutely. And that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I'm actually aiming to become a financial planner, but I decided I'll do the accounting degree first, get all that data, all the background on my belt pretty much. So then I'll go on to that probably in the next. I finish at the end of next year, so the year after that, 2024, I'll start my financial advising, which is only an extra year.
Okay.
So 3 years' time, I'll then have to probably do whatever the equivalent of like CA or CPA is for that, but that's all right. We'll think about that later on. I grew up pretty much in normal household. My parents are together, very fortunate about that. Two other sisters. Got into money probably because we grew up, it was income household.
Okay.
She was stay-at-home mum pretty much until my younger sister started school. So I probably would have been about 10. So she had a good 10 years off the workforce. And my dad, she always tells us the story, he was on about 45 grand a year. This is literally only about 10 years ago. So you can imagine, even with inflation, like that's still not that much money, even back then. So she was very frugal. She grew up like that too. And it was a very, we never went without. We always got what we needed, but we didn't really get the wants, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So now I guess that sort of played out. Like me and my siblings, we're not very materialistic people, really don't care for that type of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, they always instilled in me, if you can't start a business or be a business owner, try and invest into a business, be an owner.
Right.
Which I guess sort of how I got into then the investing side of things. Like if you can't own BHP, be a shareholder in BHP, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Because they were always like, if you're a business owner, your income potential uncapped. You can earn as much as you want compared to like a salary earner, I guess, where he was on the 50 grand. So that was sort of their way, investing on the side as well, even before she took time off to have kids. It was
Invest.
Always got extra revenue coming in. So I think I would have been probably about 12 when I first was like, I'm going to try and make more money if that makes sense, because I couldn't have a job at the time. It was like, what can I do to make money? And I think that's where I've gotten into being really interested in personal finance and all that yes. type of thing. But yeah, coming from that background.
No, I think that's really, really awesome. And it sounds like both your parents have done such an amazing job raising you and your sisters. And I guess as well, it's so underrated when you have parents, or may not have to be a parent, but even a mentor or some sort of figure that can teach you about the ins and outs of the economy and money and how it works. And, you know, I didn't have that growing up. My family and my mum and dad, bless them, they worked really hard and, you know, we're decently well off, I guess, now, but they never instilled in me like what your mum did in terms of, you know, investing. So for me, it was a bit of a different journey. I had to find that out myself. And I don't even know how I found out, but it all starts with Warren Buffett, doesn't it? When you watch, you know, a couple of YouTube videos, maybe I think I was 18 or something. I was young, maybe even before that. And you're like, who is this guy? How does he have so much money? And then you start to learn about the investing fundamentals and things like that. That's really, really awesome. And I guess, you know, apart from starting kind of your investing journey, you know, at a very young age, did you, you know, have any ventures, or did you work and save? How did you really, you know, get started on building your capital and starting your investment journey?
Yeah. Okay. So when I was young, I used to go to, when I'm say young, around, yeah, the 12, 13 age, just before I could start working. I used to go to op shops and buy like books for like a dollar, yep. put them up on eBay for like, I don't know, I think it was around $8 to $9 I'd put them up for.
Wow.
Plus the mortgage, obviously. And then I would just, yeah, keep doing that and take that profit. And I was sort of like, money makes money. So the more money I'm making, the more books I could buy to re-put up. I sort of, yes. that made sense. And then I think I was literally 14 years, 9 months, which I think at the time, I think it's gotten younger now to about 14. I applied for Macca's, got the job there. Good old Macca's. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a funny one, because I know, and Allegra's not here, so we can talk all we want about her, but she started at Macca's as well. I think that was so her first job.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't work until I was 18. I was a bit lazier. I think I was, don't know what I was doing.
You're the smart one, to be honest.
I think I was just playing computer games or something, or just wasting my time. But anyway, but yeah, now that I look back on it, if I had, you know, been a bit more proactive or pragmatic, then, you know, getting started. And Macca's is so underrated, because I know my brother, and I have two brothers, my middle brother, he worked at Macca's as well. And he always brought home chicken nuggets. And I was like, this is so good. But no, 100%, that's how most people get started, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really, it sort of helped me in my money journey, because it really, Macca's is a very, you have to follow the rules type of place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, at school, it's like you got these rules and like, yeah, you can follow them and other people don't, and you just get sent it. Like, it sort of taught me, like, if you don't follow the rules in life, like, you will be fired. Which I sort of understood that with money, it's sort of integrated in terms of, if I don't do the right thing with my money, I'll have none, and that's all on me. It's sort of just flowed into the rest of my life, if that makes sense. So yeah, started working there, saved pretty much everything apart from, you know, fuel.
Oh, my goodness. So
cheap back then for fuel that it is now. I hate to think of those kids. If I was still at Macca's, oh.
Yeah, I know. At $2 a litre, it's incredible how the world's changed and how prices are, you know, inflation is the hot topic of the day. But, you know, it's good that you saved, you know, all of that money. And then I assume you invested it?
Yep. So when I was 18, because I tried to do the, I had about $4,000 in shares that my parents did in one of those, like it was invested in my name, but it was under their name because I wasn't legal age yet.
Right.
So when I was 18, I opened my own trading account in my full name, and I bought $1,000. I'm not allowed to, am I allowed to say what it's of? NAB. I bought $1,000 in NAB.
Yeah, why not? We like to give four banks, they're safe and sound anyway. Yeah. But yeah, that's good. And I bought awesome.
Like $21 or something, which was at the time, because I did used to study, like I would look and I'd be like, okay, this is down. If it's down, it's on sale. I used to just approach it like that. And so now I know that I have a lot more NAB now than that. But yeah, I know they trade at like around $30 or something now.
Yeah. And it would have been, yeah, no, and sorry to cut you off, but you would have been receiving the dividends throughout however many years.
I've always reinvested my dividends. So I'm a big compound interest. Like, I just love the way that that happens.
Yes.
So yeah, always done that. So
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That means your average buy price would have been much lower now, even though it's only gone from, let's say, $21 to $30. And that's maybe a concept our listeners, you know, aren't aware of. But, you know, when you're getting paid out all of your interest in your shares and you're reinvesting it, it basically brings down your average, you know, buy price, which is really great. And, you know, you're letting, you know, compounding just do its job. And that's fantastic, Beck. You know, let's pivot a bit more now. I guess we have your background and, you know, we know what really got you, you know, into investments. Obviously, your parents, it sounds like, played a big part in your investing journey. But tell us a little bit more about your current project, which is BexFrugal 20. So I guess, you know, what made you want to start your Instagram page or your TikTok or your YouTube? You know, what are you, you know, sharing with your followers for those that aren't, you know, or haven't seen your page?
Yeah, so it was actually pretty funny. So it was grade 12. I was sitting at the athletics carnival and I can't remember. I was talking something about money and I was like, oh, no one wants to talk about my, I'm always been a very, money's not a taboo subject. Like I think yes. The more you talk about it, the more you attract it, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, I was like, oh, no one wants to talk about it, rah, 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 like going off. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start an Instagram page because I had been following on my personal private Instagram. I've been following like people in the, I'm not sure if it's still called that, but the debt-free community. Like there used to be a hashtag, everything went to that hashtag. Used to follow so many people there. So I just decided to make my own. It was called Frugal Teenager. I only changed it when I turned probably.
When you moved into your 20s.
Yeah. I don't even know if I changed it until I turned like 21 this year. I don't actually remember. It was either this year or like ended last year.
Right.
I was like, I'm not a teenager anymore. I need to get over it.
Yeah.
So yeah, started my Instagram, did that for, I've been there just over 4 years. I've been doing Instagram.
Okay.
And I absolutely love it. I love so many people that I followed in the beginning still on it, which is amazing.
Yep.
Talked to so many people on there. It's just so, no one judges anyone. Like there are people in like millions of dollars in debt on there, but because they're paying off their debt, like they're just so relatable in terms of all trying to achieve like the one goal, like financial independence, financial freedom.
Yes.
So it's like no matter where you are, we're all relating to the one thing, which is awesome. Then obviously moved over to TikTok. I said I would never get TikTok, but then of course I just couldn't help myself. I was like, oh my God, everyone's dancing. I want to do that. And it was just more, it was okay to post more if that makes sense. Like I didn't want to be that person just constantly clogging the Instagram feed, posting like 3 times a day. And yes. I was like, TikTok people don't care if you do that. Like you can literally post as much as you want. So I started posting on that. Been doing that since I think it was literally like New Year's Eve last year.
Oh,
so
okay.
Almost 6 months. And I've grown more followers on there, which is weird. Don't know how that's happened, but it's pretty cool the way it works, like algorithms and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, do that. I post a lot about side hustles and stuff on there. I've become a very big side hustle person.
Okay.
Like how to make money outside of your normal job. Which I guess is what I was sort of touching on before. Like there was always more ways to make money than just your one capped income. And then decided to start YouTube last month. So yeah, subscribe to me on that if you want. I'm not gonna say it's the best thing to watch, but I'm starting, like it's making sense. It's actually fun. Like it's something different, which I like. Like I like to change things up. I don't like to just keep doing the same thing. I feel stagnant. So I like to move on to the next thing. Now it's another thing that I can focus on and have a look at and stuff and try and expand onto there.
That's awesome. And I guess, you know, for all of our listeners out there that aren't familiar with your socials, Beck, at the end of the podcast, we'll make sure to shout you out and also put your links in the description. You talked a little bit about side hustles and, you know, little tips and tricks maybe you can share with our listeners on how they can perhaps, you know, get a second income or a third income or other sources of income or even, you know, ways they can save money or little tips and tricks to save and invest. Do you have kind of, you know, those little tips and tricks that you can share with us in our audience on how to save a bit more or earn a bit more?
Yeah, of course. So my favorite thing in the whole world is Google, how to make more money, which is how I found out, like, you can literally make money doing anything. Like, I do a lot of online surveys, love them. I would do an hour every night because if I'm just watching TV or YouTube or whatever, I just sit there on my phone, do them, earning money whilst being unproductive. It makes me feel okay about it. I love things like shop back, cash rewards, that type of thing.
Yes.
I think every single person in this world does like to online shop. Like, I know you could say you don't, but everyone likes to do it every once in a while. And it's so much like more, you just feel so much better about yourself when it's like, oh, I got $6 back on that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. And then I'm constantly looking, just Googling, like, say I'm shopping at Cotton On, like Cotton On discount code, just trying to find, like, there are so many ways to save money. Like, I don't understand how people can just be like, oh, that's $100. I'm just going to pay the $100. I'm like, no, we're going to sit down and try and find a way to make it cheaper than that $100. Like, even if it's $98, I feel better knowing I saved like that $2 than not like doing anything at all. So it's just like little things like that. Like, I set up a roundup on my like debit card so that it goes into my trading account. So like, I think I'd round up to the nearest dollar. So even if it's like 13 cents, that 13 cents adds up over time. Like, I think I just got my one for May and it was like $9.50. Like, that's $9.50 I could have easily spent on like a couple coffees or something. But now it's $9.50 that's sitting in my trading account and will build up to buy some more shares or something, you know? Like, it's those little things, really.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think you touched on it, you know, online shopping, that's a big topic. Like, a lot of people do like, and I myself have fallen into that category. I do love to buy. My guilty pleasure is shoes and running shoes and basketball shoes and trainers and all that kind of stuff. I've got way too many pairs of shoes that I care to need. But I think really interesting, like, extensions, like Honey, and there's like, that was the first one that you can, you know, and they just plug in, you know, discount codes to see which one works, when it doesn't work. I think that's a really interesting. The shop back stuff I need to get onto because I don't use any of those yet, but it would be nice to get some cash back whenever you shop. So that's something I need to look into. And no, fantastic. I think that's awesome. And, you know, you mentioned it, like, all the money that you're saving or the little extra kind of, you know, dollars do add up, right? And you ultimately want to, you know, use that money to invest. And it's kind of sounds like, Beck, that you perhaps, you know, are investing, and I might be wrong, on like a, you know, dollar cost average basis, or just, you know, consistently investing, or maybe enlighten us a bit more on, you know, how do you invest, you know, that 950? Are you just taking it and putting it in, or are you kind of waiting because you think, well, inflation's really high, or waiting for the market to slow down a bit? You know, the RBA might keep raising rates. What are we thinking about your, you know, how do you approach investing?
Yeah. So I used to be that person who followed the $1,000 project by Kenna Campbell. I'm not sure if you've heard about it. You probably have. So every single time that I had $1,000, I would then invest. So it wasn't like a set, I'm going to invest on the first of every month or something into this specific. It was just, oh, I have $1,000. I'll have a look at the shares I already have, what one's looking low at the moment. It's become a bit more structured than that. That was, I at the beginning of this year, I was like, no, we need to sit down and actually figure out what I'm doing. So now I try and invest. There's always a $1,000 withdrawal that comes out in the first of the month into an ETF that I do. So that's like non-negotiable. That sort of just chips away, does it itself. And the others, it's more just, I always put money aside from all my things when I have enough money there. Or if I'm just, I'm one of those serial people who just look at the stock market all day, every day. And if I see it go down, like, especially if it's one of the shares and I know it's coming up to like dividend time and they're about to release their dividend, I'll be like, I'm buying it if I have enough money. So I am more of a dollar cost average. I like to try and buy it when it's lower. Like, if something's really high, I won't just buy it because I've got the money sitting there. I'm more of a wait and see if the market's fallen. If the market's fallen, I'll probably put some money in. I definitely $1,000 into that ETF every month on the first.
Yep. And have you been doing that for a while, maybe since you're 18 or whatever? Or has that changed over time, you know, kind of the way you've invested? Or have you always just kind of really stayed the same in that way of investing?
I've pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah.
When I was like 18, I probably, that whole year, I think I only invested about $5,000. But again, perspective at the time, didn't earn that much. It's one of those things. So obviously, as I've earned more money and like started my side hustles and all that type of thing, I definitely became more, okay, this is a proper thing I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let's do it properly. Let's make sure we are investing a certain amount each month. Let's make sure we are dollar cost averaging into everything instead of just, you know, focusing on like one share or something.
Yeah.
At the moment, my favorite thing is rounding up how many units I have to like the nearest 50.
Yeah.
So if just I see like
nice.
Yeah. Like the other day, it was like 150 of like BHP or something. And I was like, that's not going to do. I was like, I'm going to need to buy 50 of them at some point just to round it up to that 200. So
yeah,
that's very shallow of me probably to round up to. Not a very good approach, I guess. But hey, it's what I'm doing at the moment. And if I can't decide.
It works.
Yeah. It makes me happy. Keeps it nice and orderly.
Yeah.
And then I'll get like a dinner and it'll be like, here's your 9 shares. And I'm like, oh, great.
I need to get one more. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. You talked a little bit about obviously some of the shares you've owned. You've said you bought NAB, you know, kind of as your first share back in the day, you know. And also you've put money into an ETF consistently on the first of the month. You know, outside of equities, are there any other asset classes that you invest in? Have you touched, you know, whether it's commodities, gold, bonds, just anything else? Dare I say cryptocurrencies?
I was about to say crypto. I have done, I'm the worst crypto person ever. Like, I just have never understood it properly. Like, I've watched the Happy Spenders videos. Like, I've watched all this and that. Never understood it. I've done a few quick trades.
Yeah.
Like, especially last year, I was just doing that, buying it when, like, it was low, like, DOT or Bitcoin or something, and then bouncing it. Like, once it got high, I was like, see ya, I'm out of there, and putting it into my shares, like, because I'm just one of those, like, I guess shares aren't even like a safe asset. I call them a safe asset, but I think it's because I just understand how it works.
Yes.
And I'm like, if my shares go to zero, there are bigger problems in the world than my like 20 grand going to zero. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I think that's, whereas crypto, I'm like, if that went to zero, I'm like, I don't really understand what would happen. I'm like, is it just an online made up thing? I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, I understand it's based on like supply and demand. I think it's based on who's buying, who's selling a lot. Yeah. But yeah, apart from some quick day trades, and I haven't done one of them in about 3 months now. Yeah. Ever since Bitcoin's been going down, I'm like, oh, I don't trust myself anymore.
I think, you said it best, really, right, Beck? It's like stick to what you know, right? And it sounds like you've got a pretty good grasp of your equities, especially like some of the blue chips. So, you know, and I mean, you know, shares can also be quite speculative. But I think if you start to go into like the micro cap ones, and you look at, you know, small companies that are doing research on autism or whatever, and you just like, oh, this is great. It's like at 1 cent a share. But, you know, that's kind of like gambling, to be honest, if you're investing in that. But no, that's fantastic. Cool. I guess, you know, let's move on. How are you investing, you know, in the current landscape? You've mentioned you've basically done it the same way in the past. Do you expect to do that in the same way moving forward? I mean, you know, I think Allegra and I, we're cautiously optimistic about the future. I think there are a lot of headwinds at the moment, and you know, just like I'm sure you would have known, you know, inflation is a big issue, interest rates are starting to go up, and we're starting to see house prices correct. I think Brisbane has had the highest or biggest run in house prices over the last year or two, and you know, that's now gotten to a stage where we're starting to see, you know, markets start to decline in reaction to that. But how are you approaching kind of your investing now and looking forward? Is it much of the same, or are you, you know, deviating a bit?
Yeah, look, it is one of those things, because everywhere lately, like headlines are like recession incoming and stuff. And I'm like, should I be stockpiling my cash to like, I see it as a buying opportunity personally. Like I would never cash out what I have in there, that's staying. But yeah, everywhere is just popping up and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And then my parents last night watched a movie about the global financial crisis, and I'm why did you do that? I'm like, I'm already like, don't know what to do, and you guys are just watching this in front of me. I definitely will keep dollar cost averaging into the ETF. I'm trying to decide, do I start keeping my cash on me to chuck in? But then again, what happens if this recession never happens and it's like share prices, like if they just started going back up? I know they have dropped since the beginning of the year. But they're definitely still so much higher than they were like even before COVID. Like that's insane how the market just like, which I guess it, like inflation, especially, with the interest rates, I'm just, it's so hard. I definitely will keep investing here and there, but I will be holding extra cash. Like I am one of those people who'll just, oh, there's $2,458 in my trading account. Let's put $2,458 into like a share and leave the zero and I'll build it back up. I think I'll definitely be like, oh, let's just put 1,000 in and keep some money there. I hate when it's like a bad day on the market and I'm like, oh, cool, don't have any money now, do I?
Oh, no. It's 100%. It kind of ruins your mood as well. And that's when you get to the point where you're like, oh, man, I can't be letting my emotions be dictated by this. But absolutely. And I think as well, like I mentioned, we are cautiously optimistic and like there are a lot of headwinds that are coming. But I think, you know, if you have a long-term mindset, which I'm sure you probably, you know, also have that in mind, like over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I think we're all going to be just fine. But cool. No, I think that's all I had in mind for this episode, Beck. Look, did you have any questions for us? Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss? Or it's been a pleasure having you on. But anything on your end that you wanted to bring up?
Not really, but I just want to say thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. It's so awesome that, you know, you've kind of come onto our podcast because we've been chatting, obviously, you know, on and off with Instagram. And I think you've kind of been there from the beginning, ever since Allegra and I got started with this project. And we're kind of the new kids on the block and trying to, you know, keep in touch and kind of brush up our, you know, knowledge on who's already in the space and learning from yourself. I think we did an episode not so long ago with Soph and Maddie from You're in Good Company. So we had them on. Yeah, that one was amazing. And they were just really, really cool. And I think they had their first live event the other week or other month. And
I saw that on their Instagram story and I was like, damn it, I missed it.
And I was like, I would love to go, but if I could just fly down to Melbourne. And but no, that was awesome. But no, look, thank you so much for jumping on, Beck. Had a really lovely time talking to you. And I guess, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a blast.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to episode number 19 of the Simply Investing podcast. I hope you all enjoyed our special guest, Beck, joining us this fine evening for what is actually the final episode of season one of Simply Investing podcast. So we just wanted to say thank you all for your support and for tuning in, week out for 19 glorious episodes of just us having a good time and, you know, chatting rubbish. Hopefully you've learned a thing or two about investing. And, you know, as usual, please don't hesitate to reach out to us on Instagram, DM us, and we'll be more than happy to have a chat with you. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for your support. See you guys in season two.